This is Pure Decking, show number 374 for Thursday, May, November 21st of the current year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and figuring out that those little medical alcohol prep pads are about the best damn thing for cleaning up old electronics. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What is up, Mad Men?
Overtime makes me want to drink. Of course, not working overtime makes me want to drink. I think I just want to drink. There be a problem?
Nah, sounds normal. I mean, I'm you know, starting to keep the flask in the desk at work. So I mean, you know, it's just gotta solve the problem there. And RU is also here.
Boop. You don't have a drinking problem, Madman. Just don't admit it. Admit to nothing.
I don't have a drinking problem. I enjoy it quite thoroughly.
Exactly.
I've always been able to find the whiskey when I was thirsty. There is no problem.
So I did finally get my hands on a Amiga 500.
Cool.
Got it today. Start looking at it. The guy was nice enough to include the power supply, the mouse, even a couple of floppies so I can test it. I don't have a TV that'll take the composite, and the thing's got its own custom RGB, so until the parts show up, I can't actually hook it up to anything.
That sucks.
You're not a composite. It's not a composite. It's attuned, like an RF.
Oh. You need a converter.
Yeah, I don't think I have one of those, or at least not one I could locate. And my little LCD I normally use for classic stuff, I think it's got a digital tuner, not a...
Yeah. Probably got one or two lying around, but they're no good to you.
So, I'm going to need to buy... I did order the appropriate hardware to be able to hook the thing up to a VGA signal, a proper VGA signal, but I don't have that yet. Also, I was really disappointed when I flipped the thing around and the back of it's rusted up. It's like, oh.
It'd just be surface, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's an RF shield. I can, between some vinegar and a brass brush, it'll clean up fine.
Either that or get a little bit of wet and dry sandpaper, wrap it around a cotton wool bud.
Well, that's a good idea. I may have to do this.
You want to have something so it's cushioning? You're not actually going to bend anything?
Well, yeah, and you don't want to take off more than you absolutely have to, which is why I was thinking the exactly. Vinegar would be a good call. That way it neutralizes it, keeps it from getting any worse.
Yeah.
I don't remember if these things have a real-time clock battery in them or not. I'm hoping they don't, because if that's what the back of the case looks like, if there's a battery in there...
it's way gone.
I may have a mess to clean up on my hands, but... there were pictures of it working.
Do they carry any internal memory? Like any internal programming? Sorry, you're fucking up today.
Yeah, they got a ROM chip. Workbench.
Constantly need ROM power.
Chip. No.
And there's probably no battery in there.
The only thing they would have a battery for would be a real time clock. But I'm trying to remember if those were an add on for the 500s or if they were. Stock, because at some point in the Amiga line, there was, you know, it might have been the 1500s or something, but I know there was an Amiga that had an internal battery that would apparently just, you know, leak and eat the traces. And you got to think these things are 30 years old now, right? So, and actually, in my case, it's even worse because I didn't even use one as a kid. I just wanted to explore a system I haven't gotten to explore before. So it's like use an emulator like a sane person. Well, I never claimed to be that, now did I? So then I like to feel, I want to feel what the old hardware was like to actually, you know, use. So what'll probably happen is I'll clean it up, get it working, spend some money getting it into a nice shape. And then, you know, and it'll end up in the closet and I'll use an emulator for any of the games I want to play. That's probably what'll happen, knowing me. But it'll be a fun project, at least, for, you know, a bit. So.
Ooh, you might be in for a fucking pain in the ass weekend, Morps.
Why is that?
To have a little squizzy down of that thing. So.
Where is the battery in an Amiga 500? Oh, that's not so bad. That's an add-in card. It won't. Okay, so that's a RAM expander. And if there's a... Oh, man, look at the damage on that board from a leaky battery.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as long as it doesn't get to any of the ICs, capacitors can be replaced. But, yeah, I don't know. But that's at least a module. The machine doesn't actually have to have anything in that trapdoor slot. So, worst case, I just pull it out and run the machine with low RAM. But,
I'd sort of throw that at you.
Well, we all know the truth. I'm going to end up having to spend some time and effort cleaning that thing up and probably money. So, but it'll be a fun project. Then I can paint it and cut holes in it for adding cards and really piss off the collectors. You know, I got thinking about this the other day. Like, I got a bunch of Commodore 64s over there and some other stuff to mess with. And it's like, you know, anytime you look up mods for these things, people lose their fucking shit if you paint one or cut a hole in it to put, like, an internal SD card reader or stuff like that. And it's like, you know, on one hand, I get that from a collector's point of view. It'd be like somebody taking a classic car and chop it up and hot rodding it and burning it out. And but at the same time, it's my fucking gear. If I want to spray paint it, I'm going to fucking spray paint it.
Yeah. Just
don't do another Hello Kitty Island Adventure themed computer.
Well, but that was the that was your favorite one.
It needs to be unique.
Nice out, Madman.
Very nice. Oh, fuck. You guys want to do stories now?
Yeah.
What happened in the world of computing?
Well, if you go by the, you know, top three links that are repeated over and over and over again on most of the news articles, Google and Facebook are just evil. So I at least found some of the more interesting takes on it. First, so for first one, main one, this one's from noyb.eu. And it's Facebook, we don't need your consent. So what they've done is actually something we predicted in response to GDPR, because I remember we talked about this. The world's largest social network believes it has found a way to bypass Europe's strict privacy laws. In yesterday's proceedings before the Vienna Regional Court, Facebook openly admitted that it had been collecting and processing data without users' consent since the induction of the GDPR on May 25th, 2018. According to the GDPR, in addition to consent, there's also the possibility of processing data for the performance of a contract. Facebook now claims to have concluded such an advertising contract with users who access Facebook. Their users who have access to Facebook have, quote, ordered, quote, personalized advertising, unquote, when they signed up for the new terms and conditions on May 25th, 2018. So Facebook just flat out put it in their terms of use that you agree not to, you know, or that you give us full license to ignore the GDPR, basically.
For the purposes of advertising to you.
Yeah. And they're calling their terms and conditions an advertising contract. I thought terms and conditions were not considered a contract.
Yeah, I'm not on upon contract law whatsoever. I had no idea.
I thought it was just simply, you know, terms for use of the of a service, and that they could deny you use of the service if you didn't agree to it. But I guess kind I would of meant kind that of way,
but they haven't been challenged a lot in court. So how far you can go with it's kind of questionable. Because how often do you challenge the ULO and whatever you buy? Whatever you buy generally works.
Actually, I bought one of those copper smokeless grills, which are not smokeless, by the way. You know, they're smokeless in the fact that you're not burning a gas or a charcoal. But, you know, when you put food on there with grease in it, you still get smoke. So fair enough. But it came with this piece of paper saying that by purchasing this, you agree to an arbitration clause. And I just watered it up and threw it away. It's like, fuck that shit. If I'm going to sue your ass, I'm going to sue your ass. If I have to, I'll claim I bought your product at a garage sale.
Yeah, until it's challenged in court, there's not really a set precedent on it. Well, they can say you agreed, but you just say you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, well, what? You really agree to binding arbitration to purchase a product? Are you fucking kidding me?
Now, one thing with this, if you're processing my information for personalized ads, that doesn't necessarily mean you have the right to sell it. You may have the right to collect it to personalize the ads for me, but their revenue is coming from selling the information, not just advertising to me. So I would try to argue that in a court.
So, Facebook's lawyer, I'm not going to try to read that name. Oh, hell, we'll try it once just for fun. Katharina Rabe Stupening.
Oh, she's a Russian agent.
I didn't say they hired Dutch, a lawyer maybe? Outside the tribe.
No, someone in EU law, they got an EU lawyer.
Oh, no, that's not, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. That's not Facebook's lawyer. That's somebody who brought suit against Facebook for GDPR. That's the plaintiff's lawyer.
I was going to say, that doesn't have the right tribal names ring to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For YouTube.
Did it sound Jewish enough? Ooh, we just got canned for that one.
I don't know why you're going to bring Sod into this. It's not like he's throwing around ethnic slurs.
Because I hit the wrong button.
What is a slur? He said he's a lawyer. That's an honorable profession. That's a lucrative anyway. Profession.
Very lucrative.
Requires intelligence.
Okay. So the lawyer said, Facebook now says that they do not need consent to the use of the data because of users ordered this advertising. Advertising on Facebook is now supposed to be an important part of the service promise. It's as if the users join Facebook only to see the ads. The lawyer continued, Facebook is simply trying to bypass the law. To prove that no one ordered advertising from Facebook, we conducted a neutral study by the Austrian Gallup Institute. The result is devastating for Facebook. Only 4% of the users want advertising. No shit. And the ads contract seems to be forced upon the other 96%. Back to the lawyer, there can be no question of the ordered service to the user. If Facebook wants to aggregate user interest and track people on the internet, this can only be done with the consent of the users. Anything else would be circumvention of the GDPR. Cecilia Alvarez, privacy policy director of Facebook EMEA, was questioned by the Viennese judge yesterday. However, she was unable to come answer many of the questions. Facebook's lawyers argued that she lacked the technical understanding to answer questions on Facebook's handling of personal data. Max Schrimix, the plaintiffs, or Schrims, S-C-H-R-E-M-S. Why do I always... I pick the damn stories, and I always seem to pick the stories with names I can't pronounce. yeah, rats. Facebook got hit with a GDPR suit. Facebook argues that every... You know, I forgot to put the... no, I didn't. It's in there. Rats just didn't get it because he wasn't in the IRC yet. There you go. Yeah, however, she was unable to, blah, 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 blah. Facebook argues that every user knows what they are getting into, but not even the top Facebook privacy expert can explain what the company does with our data. That's particularly absurd. However, the plaintiff's tough questions will not be answered until February, as the hearing was postponed. Let's see. Main points of the proceeding. One, a fundamental question of who owns the data on Facebook and thus who is controller for different functions of the platform. Facebook has so far taken the position in the event of problems with the data that the user is who is responsible, but Facebook alone is responsible when it comes to using the data. So they get all the benefit and none of the risk.
Damn. Damn, they're using it. They own it. They're responsible if something happens to it.
Further, Facebook circumvents the strict requirements for consent in the GDPR by packing consent into the terms of use, which nobody reads. So there's an argument there. Facebook believes that with this trick, the GDPR's consent rules no longer apply to them. In addition, Facebook does not give users a full copy of all their data. Under EU law, users have a right to access their data. The case will hopefully allow the public to understand more clearly what Facebook stores about users. Facebook claims a clarification of these points would resemble a total transformation of the platform. Plaintiff agrees, if we succeed, Facebook will have to change its practices to comply with the GDPR and give users real voting rights. That's our goal. So, anyways, yeah, it's just kind of funny that Facebook is basically claiming, well, when it's a problem, it's your data. But when we're making money, it's our data. So, oh, Rhett says he was rebooting his machine to try Manjaro. What do you think of it? Go ahead, guys.
Let's say if they lose this, Facebook's next action would just be, all of our servers are in the U.S. It's legal there. You're giving up your rights by accessing a U.S. company.
Yeah.
Well, that is kind of the stance I took with G15, except I don't have any personal data. I don't even though I could turn on comments and set up a forum, I don't, because I don't want to fucking deal with it.
Why? Why would you? Who cares? The internet. I don't care what they have to say.
Between spam bots and trolls, I just don't want to deal. It's like, nope, the IRC's
good. Oh, I like
good.
Trolls. Trolls are fun. It's the sycophantic fuckwits I can't stand.
Oh, okay, maybe instead of trolls, I meant, you know, SJWs.
Yeah, they're fun to play with.
So, anyways, I just think it's interesting, but you're right. That's exactly what Facebook's going to do. They're just going to be like, okay, we're moving all of our servers to the U.S. Although I think Europe has laws about, your GDPR has laws about you have to store it in Europe. So, yeah, that would be interesting.
By Europe.
Yeah, they would just close out Europe. They just wouldn't run. It's like, oh, well, if your people want to connect, it's like, yeah, they can connect. They just need to understand it's a U.S. service. We're not subject to your laws.
Yeah. So it has to be in Europe. I've got all my servers in South Dakota. Enforce your law. Because what I'm doing isn't illegal in this country, and yeah, they're not going to deport me for it.
They'd have to turn Europeans off at the ISP level.
And their countries would have to do it, though.
Yeah.
That business isn't going to.
Yeah, but you know their countries would. So. I mean, they block pirate sites all the damn time, so.
Yeah.
Ooh, do you think the people would let them? I mean, you would see a
European social media
company
spin up.
You think Europeans have a fucking say over what happens to them? That's fucking cute, Madman.
Yeah, they'll just keep making them a vote until they get the answer that the government wants. You know,
you don't think there'd be any type of rioting? I mean, I don't think people are still eating, but
I think that's exactly what would happen, is they would just keep making them vote. Oh, there'd be protests. I don't think the Yellow Vest protests ever actually stopped.
No, they haven't stopped.
But I just don't think anybody would give a shit. They'd have to, get enough people up there to start marching government buildings and threatening actual revolutions to even get attention. You know, the news won't even cover them.
Gonna risk your freedom for, like, you know, risk getting charged with riot for fucking Facebook?
Nope.
There's a cause no one's taken up.
Yeah, they'd probably just have a European Facebook that's going to do the same things Facebook's doing.
Yeah, but it'll be a European country, not an American country, so the EU will be much more tolerant.
I think with the European Facebook, if they're doing away with Facebook's business model, they'd be doing a charge subscription service. Think anyone would pay to use Facebook?
People used to pay to use Telex. I could see them resurrecting a Telex-like service and just, yep, this is the government-run Facebook equivalent.
Yeah.
I mean, Europe would do that kind of stuff. It would be terrible, but, you know, they would just issue, well, they'd set up something like the BBC is, right? Where it's a state-run media thing that's funded through a tax fee. And it's just, oh, you have internet? Yeah, you got to pay for the Euro social net or whatever it is.
You just don't know that you're paying for it, or can't opt out of it. Hell, I think that's almost worse than having them collect my information and sell it, because at least I don't have to use Facebook.
Yeah. It really, who cares? Facebook will go away tomorrow.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't really care about the platform much anymore. Some use it as a messaging platform, but really all I see on it is family members I don't want to talk to, riling up people I don't know about shit that I don't care about.
Yeah, right here.
Although apparently they, you know, put up their own version of Craigslist, and that's done fairly well, so I don't know. Anyways, next article. This is from the EFF. Just because they, you know, seemed like a place to get it from. They're claiming victory in Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ruled police cannot force you to tell them your password. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued a forceful opinion today, holding that the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution protects individuals from being forced to disclose the passcode to their devices to the police. In a 4-3 division in a 4-3 decision in Commonwealth versus Davis, the court found that disclosing a password is testimony protected by the Fifth Amendment's privilege against self-incrimination. EFF filed an amicus brief in Davis, and we were gratified that the court's opinion closely parallels our own arguments. The Fifth Amendment privilege prohibits government from coercing a confession or forcing a suspect to lead police to incriminating evidence. We argue that by unlocking and decrypting a smartphone or computer is the modern equivalent of these forms of self-incrimination. Crucially, the court held that the narrow foregone conclusion exemption to the Fifth Amendment does not apply to disclosing passcodes. As described in our brief, the exception applies only when the individual is forced to comply with a subpoena for business records and only when complying with the subpoena does not reveal the contents of his mind, as the U.S. Supreme Court put it. Scrolling ahead here. This ruling is vital because courts must account for how constitutional rights are affected by changes in technology. We store a wealth of deeply personal information on our electronic devices. Government simply should not put individuals in the no-win situation of choosing between disclosing a password and turning over everything on the devices, or instead defraying a court order to do so. Let's see. At least two other state Supreme Courts in Indiana and New Jersey are considering similar cases. EFF is participating in both of those, and so on. So this is cool. You're starting to see more states agree that, yes, forcing someone to give up a password is compelled testimony. Yeah. And I think it is. Where this gets weird is with things like fingerprints and the facial recognition, right? I have actually been in a restaurant and seen some chick grab a phone from a guy who I assume they were dating and sit there and kept trying to point the phone at his face to force the phone to unlock, and he was, like, batting his head around. So I don't know if they were horsing around, playing around, or having a shit fight. I didn't stick around long enough to find out. But it was a very interesting lunch at that Arby's. So you know.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it, but I look forward to seeing crazy shit like that in the future.
Well, you know, the thing is, when these devices can be unlocked with a fingerprint or by, you know, pointing it at your face, is that it's no longer considered the contents of your mind, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's considered identifiable features. That's why they can fingerprint you without a warrant whenever you're arrested.
Yeah, so can they force you to put your finger on your phone? I mean, yes, technically the police can pull a gun, tackle you, and hold your hand to a phone. I mean, I'm saying legally.
Yeah, but that can still be found to be excessive force. But I mean, I think that's another one that needs to be tested in court.
If they can fingerprint you, I don't see the difference between fingerprinting you and having you stick your finger on the iPod.
Well, the fact that it unlocks the iPod and gives them access to a lot more than just your finger.
Whenever they get a warrant for my safe, I'm either supposed to open the safe or they can cut the sucker open. Or take a key or whatever. And we've already got a precedent. They don't need a warrant for my fingerprints. Ooh, well, does a picture of your fingerprint work to unlock that?
In most cases, no. You know, Samsung had an issue where if you were using a screen protector, it might have it reading details of the screen protector and not your finger, so that it didn't matter as long as there was enough pressure on there to trigger the fingerprint sensor. But it depends also on the kind of sensor. So if it's like most smartphones nowadays, they just have a capacitive, thing that reads the ridges of the finger and gets kind of an image. Old school ones were actually kind of a camera where it was infrared based, and then you had the kind that you like swiped. You had that little bar that you would rub your finger on to get a fingerprint. I forget how those worked, but the only one you could really trick with a photo was the old school infrared ones, and you can tell those because they're bulky. And they are a piece of glass or highly polished plastic or acrylic. They're clear, and you can clearly see the light in the little sensor down in them. What's on most laptops and cell phones is the capacitive one that is opaque and tiny. And those, I don't think, work with the photo. I think the only thing they've gotten to really work reliably with those is 3D printed fingers. And then the facial scan ones on Android phones, there were some that people were unlocking with a photograph of the person, and some of the older iPhones that did it. But the current iPhones have a kind of a 3D scanner, kind of like a miniature Kinect in them. I mean, not nearly the range, right? But it at least has depth to it. So you'd probably have to like make some kind of a replica of the person's face to get it to work, like a 3D printed face.
A lot of
Buster
work
bust,
find.
Whatever. Or just have them stand there and take a picture with their phone. Poof.
Well, that's it. You're right. You know, if it's your face, all they got to do is just hold the thing up to you, and now it's unlocked. So I don't know. That gets weird. I like that they're acknowledging that passwords, are contents of your mind and therefore subject to the Fifth Amendment. But most devices aren't going to be unlocked with the password too much longer, at least password only. There'll be two-factor. So, but the whole, back to your example of the safe, you say I either have to open the safe or they can cut it open. Well, they always have the option of just, cutting the thing open, right? With encryption, cutting it open is not always technically feasible. I mean, brute force will always work eventually. Even with a one-time pad, it'll eventually work. It's just going to take modern hardware. If you're trying to do something that was truly generated, like the full one-time pad length of the message kind of encryption, yeah, I don't think we have enough. You could take every computing device on the planet and throw it at brute forcing that, and you could get lucky, but you would most likely hit the heat death of the universe before you find the password. I mean, it would eventually work, theoretically, but there's not enough time for it to be practical. You know what I mean? So, anyways, So I don't know how this will work, because almost nobody I know is just using a passcode on their phone anymore.
And this ruling isn't going to matter until it makes it up another level or two. I think there's one more court before the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, because these are state Supreme Courts, right? So I guess you would go through federal appeals before you got to the federal Supreme Court.
Once a district court rules or circuit court, whichever the one's higher, district or circuit, I don't know, don't care. But once one of those rules, then unless the Supreme Court sets in, we'll have something that's pretty definite. Because the Supreme Court probably won't rule for a while, if it rules at all.
Oh, they're not going to want to touch this one.
Not yet, anyway.
That's the thing. The Supreme Court can choose to let the previous ruling stands. You know, they don't actually have to take anything up if they don't want to.
Yeah, the only thing they have to take up is maritime law or a case between the states, or if another country tries to sue us.
But, you know, honestly, probably the correct answer is, one, don't be doing any stupid shit that you think the cops are going to be interested on your phone. Or if you are going to be doing stupid shit, you know, maybe don't put it on your phone, or maybe, you know, carry two so you have one that you can hand them. Sort of like a mugger's wallet, but for the police with a burner phone.
Oh, no, because your friend that's watching you do the drug deal is going to text you at the inopportune moment. And those pop up whether or not your phone's locked. Hey, Bill, did they find the crack in your pocket? No, fuck you, you asshole.
Nice.
Your phones do the same thing, right? I don't have to unlock it to see the last text sent to me.
I don't think mine does that. I think mine just pops up that you have a text, unless you happen to catch it right as the text comes in. Mine just has a little icon on it saying, hey, you had a text. But you can't change that setting, at least on Android. I haven't tried it on iPhone.
Well, Matt, it's when it's coming in, but I was just thinking, they're looking at your phone and you get that text.
So, anyways, speaking of more reasons not to, you know, keep too sensitive shit on your phone. Although, really, it's, what is it they're really after? They want your text messages, your emails, and your photos, right? And the phone's just a quick way to get all of those.
Contact list.
Yes, contact list. That's a good call. So, yeah, you know, if you're running a criminal enterprise, you probably, you know, want to carry more than one phone. So you have one you can hand the cops. And the one that...
Internet search history. Have you Googled how to make a bomb? On your phone.
Recently.
Hey, Alexa, how do you sell cocaine?
Carefully and to the right people.
In bulk.
In bulk. Of course, it won't be too long before, you know, you say something stupid like that as a joke, and the next thing it'll say is, are you sure you want to search this? No, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Or, what was the movie?
Police have been called.
Yeah.
Please don't run away.
Yeah. What?
Consumers, stay where you are. The police have been called. Would you like to browse more products while you wait for the police to come?
What's the fucking movie? We watched a summary of it the other weekend where, Sylvester Stallone, he ends up in the future, and they issue a citation every time you curse.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
It's what would happen if feminism.
And I couldn't think of its
name.
That's
what happened if feminism ruled the world.
So that, you know, that's what it's going to be. Is they're going to have these fucking smart speakers everywhere, and you know, at the end of the month, you'll just get your bill for hateful language, hate speech, cursing, and, you know, wrong think.
In other words, free toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go to jail before I fucking pay that, man.
But, I mean, can you just see that shit? You get a couple hundred dollars in fines every month because it's like, you said you used unsensitive language. You called that person a cunt.
Yo.
That's a fine of $75. Yeah, I can see that shit. I can totally see that shit happening.
Too bad somebody else saw it before you and turned it into a great movie.
Yep. Anyways, next article. This is from BBC News. Russia bans sale of gadgets without Russian-made software. Russia has passed a law banning the sale of certain devices that are not pre-installed with Russian software. The law will come into force in July of 2020 and covers smartphones, computers, and smart televisions. Proponents of the legislation say it is aimed at promoting Russian technology and making it easier for people in the country to use gadgets that they buy. But there are concerns about surveillance and fears that firms could pull out of the Russian market. The law will not mean devices for the other countries cannot be sold with their normal software, but Russian alternatives will also have to be installed. The legislation was passed by Russia's lower house of parliament on Thursday. A complete list of the gadgets affected in Russian-made software that needs to be pre-installed will be determined by the government. One of the bill's co-authors, Oleg Nikolayev, has explained how it could help Russian users. When we buy complex electronic devices, they already have individual applications, mostly Western ones, pre-installed on them, he said, according to Interfax news agency. Naturally, when a person sees them, they might think that there are no domestic alternatives available. And if, alongside pre-installed applications, we will also offer the Russian ones to users, then they will have the right to choose. But the legislation has faced criticism from manufacturers and distributors in Russia. The Association of Trading Companies and Manufacturers of Electrical Household and Computer Equipment has said that it will not be possible to install Russian-made software on some devices, and that the international companies behind the gadgets may leave the Russian market as a result of the law. Others have raised concerns that the Russian-made software could be used to spy on users. Russia has introduced tougher internet laws over the last 5 years, including requiring search engines to delete some search results and calling on messaging services to share encryption keys. The latest legislation comes just weeks after the country introduced new controls on the internet through its sovereign internet law. In theory, the law gives officials wide-ranging powers to restrict traffic on the Russian web. Kremlin says it will improve cybersecurity, but critics fear the government will try to create a internet firewall similar to China. So, I think if this works out, you're going to see every damn country out there pull the same trick. I mean, China already does it. Maybe not quite worded the same way, but you can't sell technology in China unless you have a Chinese company partner, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if Russia is just mandating that you will have these Russian alternatives installed on any device sold, I mean, you know, they're presenting it like it's phone applications, but this
at the end of the day, it just fucks consumers.
Tetris. Yeah, at the end of the day, it ain't going to be just Tetris that they're forcing to be installed on here, right?
Well, even if they force the tracking software on there, which is what you're probably thinking, it's just going to be a Russian tax, unless this software is free.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see that.
So they're bumping up the cost for their consumers on a product. And I don't even know why they're bitching. I buy Western shit. It doesn't come preloaded with all the Western software. Hell, if I want to watch DC Universe on my Roku, I've got to track that shit down. It didn't come pre-installed.
Just another tax, madman. All it is.
They didn't like my Tetris joke in the IRC.
And when TVs used to come with Tetris pre-installed.
No, but I remember when just about every damn game system came with Tetris.
Dude, you look at most new televisions, or going back to even that plasmas, man. There were games built into them. Just had to know where to find them.
Oh, yeah.
Menus.
Well, hell, didn't Excel have Space Invaders in it for a while? Something like that?
Oh, man.
So
that'd be cool. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. There's little Easter eggs like that in all kinds of software. Usually they're, they've hidden some old 8-bit game in them.
I could see this as just being a Russian tax, unless the Russian software companies are giving the shit away for free.
Well, some of it probably is, right? Because it's going to be things like installing the forced, it's going to be like the forced installation of a web browser, and like a search engine app, and like a Russian alternative to Amazon, shit like that, right? But they could be requiring other packages to be installed. You might have to have InfoStealer 5000 installed or whatever they would call it. They'd probably call it the Maintaining Patriotism app or something, right? So
yeah.
Oh, they wouldn't name it. It just wouldn't be visible. Here are the apps that you see. You have what would be a Russian streaming app, Borsk, whatever the fuck.
Borsk. that's where you go first, is Borsk. It's awesome. the Borsk app, some email alternative, instead of the talking cat, it's talking Putin. And
gotta keep it animal themed. It's the Russian bear. Putin's just riding it. Holding a Kalashnikov.
Man, we got an app now, Babushka Babes, older Russian chick site.
Rocket launcher strapped to President Reagan's back. The unmistakable patriotism of the velociraptor holding up a tattered American flag.
And that's why the Russians lost the Cold War. They were coming in riding bears. We had fucking velociraptors. Better technology, bitch.
Much better.
You know how terrifying a pack of velociraptors actually would be?
Yeah.
It's like, you unleash a pack of those once. What happened to the Russian military? They surrendered. They saw what happened to that battalion over there and said, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude. If they got unleashed on us, you know what would happen? We would immediately talk about, does my hunting license currently cover this, or do I have to buy a new tag? That fucker's head's on my wall.
You think our military would take the Zap Brannigan approach? Just keep throwing people at him till they were full?
Yeah. Sounds okay.
It's a big predator. I've got an AR. Boom, 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 bitch. I win.
Yeah, until the six that you didn't see blindside you.
We've hunted larger pack animals.
Okay, so we're going to steal one of those scissorless lift things from Walmart.
Wait a minute. I'll have to also say this. We've hunted larger pack animals with spears. I have an AR. We're good.
Okay. Hey, you have the wildlife people on your back.
Oh, yeah. We're going to drive these things to extinction again. Oh, wait a minute. A mad scientist cooked it up. We'll make more.
All right. Let's move on here. Next one is from techradar.com. Cyber ghost owner buys private internet access for $95.5 million to create a VPN giant. Private internet access will become part of a huge global VPN operation. Private internet access, a popular VPN provider, is set to have a new owner after Cape Technologies announced its intention to acquire the parent company and creator of private internet access, London Trust Media International Holdings. The deal is for $95.5 million, according to a report by Vox Markets, consisting of $52.9 million cash and the issue of over 42.7 million new Cape shares, which will also pay off London Trust Media's existing $32.1 million debt, making the total enterprise value of LTMI $127.6 million in the acquisition. CAPE described itself as a cybersecurity company focusing on giving consumers better digital protection, and the operation has already bought two other high-profile VPN providers, namely ZenMate and CyberGhost. Clearly, CAPE is getting serious about gobbling up turf in VPN territory, and the firm notes that PIA has over 1 million paying customers, and that almost half of these are based in the U.S. This will double CAPE's existing user base to make it for over 2 million paying subscribers around the globe. Assuming the acquisition goes as planned, subject to the usual regulatory approval, it's expected to be finalized in early 2020, and CAPE says it will then adopt the private internet access name. Well, that makes sense. It's got, you know, the most name recognition. CAPE CEO Ido Elkman commented, "This transaction makes our vision a reality by creating one of the most prominent privacy companies globally. In one acquisition, I believe we have positioned CAPE to fast become one of the leading digital privacy service providers in the world, empowering consumers to manage their own data and digital security. So while the core VPN business, private internet access, has various other strings in its privacy bow, including an encrypted search engine and privacy-focused browser called Libre Browser. We are highly impressed with the VPN as a whole, so it's not surprising that the service makes the cut for roundup of the best VPN providers. So the real question there is, will it still be one of the best VPN providers, you know, in 2 years? After the new companies come in and, you know, started to exert itself. I mean, the first...
Kind of a better question. How can you tell when a VPN is good to begin with?
It's hard. You have to go with the reputation, look and see what their policies are, and then look and see if they've ever actually provided logs to law enforcement. One of the reasons I use private internet access, and one of the reasons is we've done stories where private internet access has gotten dragged into court saying, you have to give us these VPN logs, and they've had to explain, we don't have them, we don't keep them. But other VPN companies have gotten caught because they get dragged into court and had logs to turn over, even though they said they didn't. You know, they advertised that they don't keep logs, and then they actually had logs to turn over. You know, when you see news articles about private internet access saying they really didn't have the logs and pissed off the judge and the police, that's usually an indicator that they're actually doing what they advertise and not keeping logs. The question is, will they still not be keeping logs after the new company comes in and, you know, starts merging? You know, the name might still be valuable, but if they change the business practices, then, you know, not really going to be worth continuing.
I was just thinking, if you were a government and you just really wanted to get people's information, start up a company and just say you're a VPN service, then people are paying you to give you their information.
Sure. And yeah. You'd have to somehow build up that reputation and hope you never get it questioned or damaged, like what happened with NordVPN. So that company's struggling pretty good now. So, but a lot of people canceled their NordVPN stuff after that.
Doesn't surprise me, man.
So, like I said, I just kind of wonder, with new management coming in, are we, you know, is private internet access going to be the same private internet access it's been for the past several years? So, and, you know, we may not know until something happens to prove that they weren't. A lot of people thought NordVPN was great up until their security incident was announced. And then it's like, oh, they fucked up because they didn't tell anybody about it for a year. So,
I mean, if they'd owned up, I mean, they mightn't have taken such a big hit, but that hiding it shit never helps.
Well, that's the real problem, right? Is if it's your security company, you're expected to know the correct way to handle it, which is immediate disclosure of, you know, what happened, what the potential data was. But that's not what Nord did. The reason they took so much slack is they covered it up for a year, and then even after it came out, they refused to acknowledge it. And then when you brought out the security researchers who said, yeah, no, anybody going through the compromised servers could have had their entire, you know, traffic decrypted, And Nord going, no, that couldn't happen. And anybody who knows the technology looks at it and goes, yeah, it could. you know, they really lose their credibility very quickly. And, but, I mean, that's why Madman's question of, well, how do you know it's a good VPN provider or not is a very good question. Because, yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. Is it a legit company that's running a legit security operation? Are they one of these fly-by-night things that just spin up out of nowhere? There were several iPhone and Android VPN apps that popped up in the stores that were quote-unquote free. Usually that's an indicator that it's not a good VPN, is that it's free.
Yeah.
And what they were really doing was just collecting all of the user data that flowed through them. Even though, yeah, they were technically providing a VPN, but they were just collecting everything that went through them, the freebie ones. So, you know, I mean, it's one of these things where you got to get a lot of anecdotal information together, and then, you know, a good court case where they can't provide evidence to the court because they really don't keep it, just like they said they didn't keep it. That's usually a pretty good indicator. So, but, you know, if you find some news articles that you trust and not just from whatever blog, right? You know, VPN review probably got paid for those VPN reviews, just going to say. Or it's ran by whatever company, especially if it's like, oh, yeah, this VPN provider is perfect. It drives me nuts whenever I'm trying to research some, you know, malware or something like that. Is half the time you'll find these websites with all these articles about how to solve this malware. And it's always, well, buy this specific product because this product will work perfectly. And Microsoft says you should buy this product, you know, all this other shit. And it's just like, for fuck's sake, I know it's an ad. You don't have to be that blatant about it, right? It's like, I'm dealing with a real issue. I'm not going to go buy some fly-by-night antivirus. So, speaking of, you guys have anything else on that before we move on?
Oh, I'm good.
Next one.
Let's look at a fly-by-night antivirus.
Next one is from Ars Technica. The official Monero website is hacked to deliver cryptocurrency stealing malware. Whoops. The official site for the Monero digital coin was hacked to deliver currency-stealing malware to users who were downloading wallet software, officials with GetMonero said on a Tuesday. The supply chain attack came to light on Monday when a site user reported that the cryptographic hash for a command line interface wallet downloaded from the site did not match the hash listed on the page. I never understood that. If you can get in there and fuck with the downloads, how can you not just go update the page with the correct hash? Usually they're hosted in the same place. I guess not always anymore. Over the next several hours, users discovered that the mismatching hash wasn't the result of an error. Instead, it was an attack designed to infect GetMonero users with malware. Site officials later confirmed the finding. We strongly recommended anybody who downloaded the CLI wallet from this website between Monday 18th, 2:30 a.m. UTC and 4:30 p.m. UTC to check the hashes of their binaries, GetMonero's officials wrote. If they don't match the official ones, delete the files and download them again. Do not run the compromised binaries for any reason. An analysis of the malicious Linux binary found that it added a few new functions to the legitimate one. One of the functions was called after a user opened or created a new wallet. It sent the wallet seed, which is the cryptographic secret used to access the wallet funds, to a server located at node.hashmonero.com. The malware then sent wallet funds to the servers located at node.xmrsupport.co and 45.9.148.65. A malicious Windows version of the CLI wallet carried out almost an identical attack sequence. At least one person participating in a Reddit forum claimed to have lost digital coins after running the malicious Linux binary. Roughly 9 hours after I ran the binary, a single transaction drained from my wallet of all $7,000, the person wrote. I downloaded the binary build yesterday around 6 p.m. Pacific time. User said that at the time it wasn't clear if the malware carried other nefarious actions on the computer itself. The person made a copy of the malware available for download so that researchers can analyze the code. Under no circumstances do people run this binary on anything other than a test machine that has no access to cryptocurrency wallets. No shit. Okay. If you're not doing malware research, running the thing in a debugger, or doing some kind of a pick-apart operation on it, don't run this on your main rig. Run this in, like, a laptop that you don't care about that doesn't have access to your Monero wallets. Do not run it. I love it when people do this shit. I'm going to try it out. Oh, it stole all my money. It's like, no shit, don't run this. By the way, while you're at it, don't take a loaded gun and point it at your head.
No. I like to get naked and run with scissors.
In traffic.
Yeah.
Git Monero's advisory didn't say that the site was compromised or if the vulnerabilities that led to the hack had been fixed. You should stay apprised of the breach in the coming days. In the meantime, people want to verify the authenticity of their Monero CLI software. Can check a couple of these websites for... okay, yeah, they've got the links on Git Monero, so you can actually check the binaries if you've downloaded something. Incident is a graphic reminder why it's crucial to check summaries before installing software. Links in the paragraph will explain how to do that. So, anyways, part of the reason I find that so funny is that Monero is also like the crypto coin that is used by the JavaScript miners. So, like when you hack a web page and put a miner in there to take it over, it's usually Monero. So it's, I mean, I feel bad for anybody who lost like legitimate money through that, but at the same time, you know, given the reputation Monero had, not all that.
Do your homework, man.
It's like, dude, it's $7,000 in Monero. Why? Monero's not. Its price has been kind of stable lately. So, but it's like, yeah. Should have moved that out and into something a little bit more accessible. I don't know. I mean, at least into Bitcoin, I mean, you can actually spend it, right? I've not seen anybody accepting Monero payments. So, except exchanges. But I haven't been following the cryptocurrency scene as much lately either.
Either have I.
I mean, I'm
sure
there's... I don't
know if Monero is one of the futures that they're being traded on the NASDAQ now. Because there's a couple of crypto futures now.
I thought it was mostly Bitcoin and... what was the other one?
I know it's Bitcoin, but I know there are other crypto futures.
Ethereum,
so I'm not sure how many.
Ethereum and Litecoin, I think, were the others that they were still tracking. But yeah, they've all been slowly losing value. Hopefully it'll spike up again, so what I have left is worth something. I can dump it out. Oh, well. Anyways, last article. This is from the NewYorkPost.com. Pervy trend sees people creating 3D avatars of celebrities and their exes for VR sex.
And it begins.
We kind of saw this with deepfake.
The happening of our time.
Just in case people aren't already disappointed in you enough, 3D 3D sex avatars that look just like celebrities or even your ex are taking the internet by storm. Across numerous online communities, graphics specialists and ambitious amateurs are working with pervy clientele to create computer-generated likenesses of basically anyone that their heart desires. These incredibly realistic avatars can be articulated into any position, animated, modified, interacted with in real time, and manipulated in ways that defy the constraints of physical reality. What program are they using? Anyways, I use it to fulfill my... Okay. I'm trying to read this guy's quote. I use it to fulfill my sexual fantasies or replicate sexual encounters with my ex-girlfriends. One fan of this futuristic genre of pornography said, the technology, because they've taken the name out, has enabled me to literally feel like I'm there again, i.e. getting a hand job or foot job from an ex looking at me with a smile or having another...
Of course his fucker's into feet. Or having, it had to be feet, didn't it?
Or having another ex ride me on the floor in reverse cowgirl in front of a mirror. The possibilities are endless. I'm trying really hard not to laugh in the middle of these reads, but damn. Naturally, celebrities are a popular target among for avatars of the like of Natalie Portman and Lupita Nyong'o. Nyagong? I don't know who that person is.
I either do. I don't care.
I think who is? She was in Black Panther. She's one of the black girls from Black Panther. I was Googling to see. It's like I don't know who this is. And they were found on sale for $19.95 and $18.95. Oh, Natalie Portman was $1 more than the black chick. Racist! Respectively, by Vice. The publication even noted that the creation of non-consensual images is difficult and expensive to fight legally. For fuck's sake. The final quote here. Everyone jacks off to everyone. It's human nature. You can't stop it unless you just stay off grid and never go anywhere, show anywhere, and nobody knows you ever exist. A fan posted on a forum dedicated to the content. It's our world and freedom. They can't stop us from jacking off. Nobody can. They merely chose extreme privacy.
you can't see the sheer look of disappointment on my face right now.
Well, they opened it right, just in case people aren't already disappointed with you enough. fuck's sake.
Yeah, I literally have nothing now on that fucking subject, dude.
Go ahead, man.
Do you own your own image at this point?
Well, apparently they're putting James Dean in a new movie coming out, so I'm guessing no.
Because I know only weirdos are going to be jacking off to RU, but let's say Selma Hayek. Even now... She's been in enough movies. Pull up her image. Could she sue because someone made a 3D avatar of her sucking some cock?
I wonder if it's like music covers where no, you can't sue for somebody making an exact image, but you know, oh, they got the boobs wrong, so now it's an artistic creation and they can go after.
Not art.
Are you saying a 3D rendered of a hot chick? I don't know.
I'm not entering into discussion, madman. Go fuck yourself. It's not art.
The honest answer is I don't know. I have no fucking clue.
I can see this digital art. It's sculpting. Rendering. Painting. It's something.
You are so lucky we don't live close to each other.
The term, madman, the term you are looking for is photogrammetry. And it has legitimate uses for 3D printing, which is why I know about it. But I will also admit, most of the examples of how to use photogrammetry software, when they don't use statues, they use models.
Oh, it's degenerous.
So.
Sake. I'm not a prude in any way. Go at it with the pornography, but fuck me. Yeah.
And now they can't. They just need to get enough pictures of you.
It's not. I don't care if they want to fuck me. That's fine. I don't need to know about it. I'm just,
they're not
going to
tell you.
Yeah, it should be. That should be buried in shame at the back of the closet with the horrible stains on the VR headset, right? I mean,
it's going to be kind of like the blow up doll. I'm just wondering, do famous people have a right to their own images? Or this comes up with the paparazzi a lot. Jennifer Lopez tweeted out a picture of her and either her husband or boyfriend, whatever. And it wasn't a picture they took. It was a picture some paparazzi took. So whatever magazine published it sued them for copyright infringement. Because she tweeted a picture that was of her that she didn't own. Now with this, can we take that whole idea of I have J-Lo's image and now I have an avatar of J-Lo blowing a moose. Does she own that or do I own that?
This got weird. This, I mean, the, you know, immediate left turn there. I don't know, but that raises a question, though. You're right about the whole photography thing. So if you do a deep fake of somebody, the ownership question becomes strange there because they were taking them down saying that you didn't have the rights to use that person's image. But, you know, if it's photos. Yeah, okay, Cycros has the correct answer. Clearly the moose owns it. And I think I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, thank you, Cycros, for the rocket snail.
Although now you got me remembering there was another article where a monkey, that artist or a photographer gave a monkey a camera and the monkey took a selfie and they were suing the artist or they suing the photographer for posting pictures saying he didn't own it and the monkey did. So
the monkey has no rights. It's a fucking monkey.
I just, the internet's weird, man. The internet got weird.
I mean, the digital moose has as many rights as the damn monkey, which is zero.
So we now have a new unit. We have a new unit of measurement to use the next time China's oppressing somebody, and that's going to be digital moose rights. It's like, oh, you're a Hong Kong citizen. You have digital moose rights. Got it. And moving on from the failed joke. So this is pretty cool. This is from Iron Man Software. It's a PowerShell module that integrates Python. And it's called Snek. S-N-E-K. And they even have a picture of a baby snake. So what this thing does is it grabs the Python calls from Python.net or Python4.net and integrates them into PowerShell. So you can actually call Python code either directly in PowerShell or modules. And for anybody who's messed with these, on Windows, PowerShell is great because it's really easy to get data out of something and into an object format. But it's not, PowerShell is not nearly as proficient in manipulating text and generating output and manipulating some of that data as Python. So this kind of lets you, you know, hot glue the two together so you can, at least I would see this as, okay, you use .NET to get your data, then you pass it into Python calls through this module to process that data, and then you either use PowerShell to put it back out somewhere or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I just thought this was cool because it kind of lets you hook the two things together and, you know, use the best tool for the job kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because at work, I can tell you, I've got a lot of PowerShell scripts that generate CSV files that then get processed in Python scripts. So I'm looking at this and going, ooh, something I can use.
A converter. Yay.
Well, I don't know that it's a converter, but yeah. It's a way of calling one from the other, so it's an easy way to save some time. And the last thing I have for you tonight is a guide for building up a ThinkPad 440p cheaply off eBay into a fairly decent machine. So this has been done for a bit, and I've seen YouTube videos on it and things like that, and I just thought this was a pretty good guide on it, where you can get one of these 440p ThinkPads off eBay for usually less than $200, super cheap if they're, you know, already got like a cracked screen or something. And then you can get into, you know, you can put a better screen on them. You can upgrade the main CPU, of course, put more RAM in it. And if you get one of the ones with a NVIDIA chip in it, you can actually end up with a fairly respectable gaming laptop. You know, and you're still coming out ahead on the price, even after all the upgrades, right? Because, you know, you get the laptop for $200 or less. The screen upgrade's usually $100. The rest of the parts on eBay, I mean, yeah, you're looking at a $500 or $600 build for something that's going to be the equivalent of like a $1,000 build if you bought a new one. So,
not bad.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing, though, is you can pick and choose on all these parts. Like, you know, if you don't care about gaming, you can get one with the Intel graphics chip in it instead of the NVIDIA and save some money. You know, you could skip doing the panel replacements if you don't care about the screen as much, or if you always use it on a monitor. Like, I've got a couple of ThinkPads, and I don't bother to put the screens in them because I usually end up hooking up to monitors, so I don't usually use the screens that much. But it's even got some guides in here on, like, switching out the trackpad, and, you know, you can actually order replacement stickers for the trackpads if they're worn out. So, you know, it's even got some stuff in here for modifying the BIOS a bit or even Hackintoshing them. So, you know, it's a pretty good guide for that particular model of laptop if you're out to build something, or if you have one kicking around, something you could do with it. Because that's the other thing, is these ThinkPads are usually purchased as business machines, and these are old enough now that most companies have rotated them out. So they're one of the reasons they're so cheap on eBay is there's just a lot of them going around in surplus and, you know, just sitting in you know, company closets. So they're easy to get your hands on if you want a project. So, or, you know, if you just want to be able to say you built your own laptop.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got for tonight. Of course, this is the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, except for next week, which is a holiday. I don't know where I'll be. Somewhere in Kentucky, probably. But there won't be a show next week because it's Thanksgiving. And where was I in the closing? Of course, the Pure Decking every Thursday, except for next week, Galaxy 15 Radio Site, the subreddit, and the IRC. In the IRC tonight, we have myself, Sardonic, Psychros, and Madman. Rats was in there earlier, but he appears to have dropped. And the Digital Moose is in there claiming copyright over that 3D model. Madman, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, well, we're just not going to worry about that. And that's all I've got. Madman, closing thoughts.
With what's going on, we may actually want to come up with a digital bill of rights. Can Jennifer Lopez or the Moose claim this?
Are you? Closing thoughts.
The Moose is going to be a thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly.
But it could be just more than this instance. Do you own your own data? So far, big companies saying no. I would like to say yes. That could be in the Digital Bill of Rights as well.
Well, I mean, you should really look at the GDPR that Europe passed, because I've got some issues with it, but a lot of people basically say that that was the European Digital Bill of Rights.
Well, it didn't give anybody any rights.
Well, it tried to. Tried to say you could call up companies, tell them to delete your data, and give you a copy of whatever they had, and that they had to at least ask you before they just started collecting your stuff. Now, obviously, it's the way it's written is pretty unenforceable, truth be told.
It just sounds like internet with extra steps.
I just think people need to go back to learning how to build their own services, you know, get back to forums and, you know, hobby sites and shit like that, and get away from Facebook and well, I mean, you know, if you're using them purely as a communication platform instead of, you know, hosting all the content, but
how long before they start censoring what you're communicating?
Good luck if it's on
about
my server.
2 years ago, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, these things should be chat rooms and message boards and hobby sites, not all wrapped up under Facebook or whatever social media. I guess that's the part about that's one of the reasons I never really got into social media sites is I was looking at them. It's like, this is just a quick way for somebody who doesn't know how to do it to set up a forum and a hobby page.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we've been doing that shit forever, and I didn't need some big platform with ads all over it to do it. I just, you know, did what I wanted. So, but, you know, the hobby website just hasn't been a thing anymore. I mean, it's been years since I've seen a new one that was actually worth anything. Usually somebody...
That's because it's always a Facebook page.
Yeah, I mean, especially with 3D printing, that's something that makes me mad, by the way, is you look on all these things trying to find stuff, and it's like, oh, the best place to find information for this machine is to join the machine's Facebook group. Well, fuck, I don't want to log into Facebook. So...
Oh, I tried to find a motorcycle mechanic, and I figured they would have at least websites around here.
No, they're all Facebook links.
All in my area, if I don't want to drive more than 60 miles, it's a Facebook link. So now I drive 75 miles. Or in an emergency, it will be towed 75 miles or hauled 75 miles. Because I wasn't getting on Facebook.
So, anyways, that's all I got. I'm going to start hitting sounds on the soundboard unless anybody else has anything.
Nope, I think we're done.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call the night.
Shut up, Wesley.